So you'll notice that you've got Psalm 23, and then on the back you've got a portion of John 10, not the whole thing, but a portion where Jesus speaks of being the good shepherd. Now, it is not always the case that there's a correlation between every passage in the Old Testament to a specific passage in the New Testament. You know that. But you also know that Christ is in the Scriptures. You know that when he was on the road to Emmaus with the two fellas, I think, but it could be husband and wife, and he opened up the Scriptures to show them himself throughout the Scriptures, probably starting in Genesis 3, but I wasn't there, going to Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 and all these passages that spoke of Jesus. And that's wonderful that God did that. But it doesn't mean that every passage in the Old Testament has some kind of parallel or fulfillment in the New Testament. Nonetheless, when there is a connection, we need to highlight it. We need to highlight it. And so Psalm 23 is Psalm of David. I think what we have with Jesus in John 10, you might say, among other things Jesus is doing here, is expounding the truth and expanding the truth of Psalm 23. Keep in mind that in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am," several times. This infuriated the Jews because they understood clearly what Jesus was saying. Jesus was equating himself with God, with Yahweh. Jesus is calling himself Yahweh. And he calls himself, "I am the bread of life. I am, in this case, the true shepherd." And so, we won't do this every Sunday night when we're working through Psalm 23, but let's do it tonight. Let's simply just hear Jesus' words here, and then having heard those, you might say we'll go back in time 900 years, give or take, and then hear David's psalm, okay? So Jesus preaching, teaching to a crowd of his covenant people. At the end of this section, some say, this crazy guy has a demon. And others say, can a crazy man speak like this? So there are both disciples and followers of Christ there, and there are others that are not. Jesus again said to them, he'd been talking about being the shepherd, and the people, John says, they didn't quite get it. They didn't get it. So now Jesus is giving it another try, so to speak. And so Jesus again said to them, "Amen, amen," or "Amen, amen," or in our Bibles it says, "Truly, truly," but the Chris O'Brien translation is, "Listen, pay attention now to what I'm about to say. I say to you," Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Okay, with that in mind, let's turn now to this most familiar Psalm of David. As we've mentioned before, sometimes in a psalm, in a heading that David more than likely writes himself, it's not likely an editor after the fact, but where David writes a psalm, sometimes he'll say, this is the circumstance. He doesn't say that here. He just says a psalm of David. Yahweh, and again, this is a translation of my buddy Ralph Davis. So I unashamedly use his translation. His Hebrew is slightly better than mine. He's incredible. Well, we had him here, didn't we, last year? Am I remembering that right? Ralph was here. So, Yahweh is my shepherd. I will never lack anything. He makes me lie down in grassy pastures. He guides me beside restful waters. He restores my life. He leads me in the path of righteousness on account of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear disaster, for you are with me. Your club and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me right in front of my enemies. You have anointed my head with fragrant oil. My cup simply runs over. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I shall turn into the house of Yahweh for length of days. Okay, so let's, again, we're just going to get started. We're going to get our feet wet a little bit. I must admit that as I've reviewed and reminded myself of different commentators like Spurgeon, of course, my buddy Ralph, Calvin, and so forth, they've reminded me, be a little more careful, Pastor Chris, when you're talking about sheep. Because I tend to just like to talk about how dumb they are. Okay, and I admit that, so I'm confessing that to you now. Now, they are dumb. And they're helpless. And they're utterly helpless. I mean, have you ever watched a video on YouTube where a sheep, you know, confronts a wolf and takes him down? I mean, it's just not there. It doesn't happen. They're utterly defenseless. And yet, that's like us. And, of course, Jesus highlights certain things about the sheep. They hear his voice. They listen. And so that should encourage us, even though we're not the brightest crayons in the box. If God has changed our hearts, when we hear his voice in his word or the explaining, expounding of it from a book we're reading, from a message online, wherever, and it rings true, it's because Jesus is speaking through his word to his people, and that should encourage us. Now, let's take the first sentence, the first line, or some of our Bibles, it's two lines, but Yahweh is my shepherd. I will never lack anything. I think what we're seeing here, or what David begins with, you might say, is he speaks of the closeness of God to his people. And that's something we want to highlight here for a minute. And then from David's perspective, I think what we have here, Yahweh is my shepherd, is a confession of David. We see first the closeness, the intimacy that God has with his people. And then we see David, if you will, making a confession out of it. So where do we learn about this again, in our English Bibles, it just says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. But you know, in most of our English Bibles, it's Lord all caps. And that should remind us that that's Yahweh. This is not a title. Sometimes Lord, especially in the New Testament context, it can be used to reference Jesus in particular and his deity, but it can be used as a title not only for Jesus, but for others. That is not what Lord in the Old Testament, all caps, it's never a title. It's always God's special covenant name. When he says Yahweh, to Moses, you know, Moses is at the burning bush, and God's telling Moses, I'm about to use you to bring out my people, to redeem them, to rescue them. And Moses, you know, he's trying to get out of this deal. And so, you know, he tries different ways to squirm out. But in the midst of that conversation, he says, who do I even tell them who you are? And God says, Yahweh. Literally, it's, I am that I am. That is, I am and I will always be. But God is not stating there a mere doctrinal, theological fact about his eternal existence, although that is true, that he is from eternity to eternity. From eternity, he's eternal. He's never had a beginning, will never have an end. But he's not saying that to Moses. Remember that God said, I am presently right now the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had all died. They'd all been buried. Their bodies have decayed, but their souls are with the Lord. And the Lord, Yahweh, is with them now, presently. And so, Yahweh, by using this special covenant name, he's saying to Moses, I am who I am. I am your God. You are my people. I am your God, and I will be to you. And we're all his people, not by goodness, but by grace, not by our goodness, not by our righteousness, but by his grace and mercy. But if we are his people, God says to us through Christ, none of us deserve it, but it's through his son's sin substitution, I am your God and I will be to you whatever you need. That's his name. I hope you never get tired of us when we read Old Testament scripture or even have it in the call to worship, that you see that special name for God. So with that in mind, with that review, David says, Yahweh is my shepherd. It's almost as if David is saying, Yahweh is my Yahweh. Because it's very similar. There's a great parallel here, right? That special close relationship that God conveyed to Moses that he has for his people. These people have been in slavery for 400 years. Moses might be scratching his head a little, going, really? You really care about us? I mean, we were there, and we still are for a long time. But God says, no, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I am the God of his people that are here right now. And David, I think, in a sense, in the first verse of this psalm, talking about who God is and what his relationship is to us as people, says, Yahweh is my shepherd, the one who cares for me. I'm his dumb sheep. I'm his sheep that too often goes astray. I'm his utterly, utterly helpless, helpless sheep. But he's my shepherd, David said. So I think the easiest application for us, as we're hearing God's word and we're hearing one of God's spokesmen speak to us, is simply to say, what about me? Do I think of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as my shepherd? They're mine. It's not to say they're not yours. Of course, we emphasize this morning from Paul in Ephesians 4 that spiritual maturity is a team effort, a group effort, that when Paul thinks of spiritual growth, he thinks of it. You might even say predominantly as the body of believers, not merely the individual. You can separate them, but Paul doesn't want to do that. He wants us to realize that spiritual growth happens in the context of the church. And yet David says, that's okay, Paul. I can still say, Yahweh is my shepherd, and he's yours too. So is that us? Is that our confession? Not just your conviction, though it must be that. But is this a part of your faith? Yahweh, he's the true God. He's the only God. You know, Isaiah goes on a little later on in this prophecy, talking about the stupidity of idolatry. The idol worshiper, he's got his axe, he cuts down his tree, he cuts down a good lump of, we don't call them lumps, do we? It's not Play-Doh. So he cuts him a big piece of wood. He's cold. It's a cold night out. He cuts it in half. He puts part of it in the fire. It's going to warm him. What's he going to do with the other one? Well, he's going to carve it and mold it and turn it into his idol, his dead god, and he's going to put it up on worship and worship it. I don't say, you see that? That's idolatry. That's stupid. And yet that is. And we don't say this arrogantly. We don't say it self-righteously. We don't say it like, you know, we're all that in a box of cookies. We're really special. The pagans are all dumb. We say this based on God's grace and kindness. All other religions are false. They worship either dead idols or demons. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. He revealed himself to his people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and most of all in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He's preserved that teaching in the Bible. We have it in our hands, right here, but in our Bibles. So when David says, Yahweh is my shepherd, he's not just spouting theology. He's speaking from the heart. This is my God. This is my God. But now quickly, let's end with the next line. I will never lack anything. You might think, David, you're getting a little sentimental here, aren't you, buddy? I mean, come on. Lack anything? David's like, now you got to hear me in the context of the other psalms I've read. Just look back at Psalm 22. Now Psalm 22 is certainly prophetic. We looked at it, I think, in various times. It explicitly refers to our Lord and Savior in the first half of the psalm and his death. And then the second half is resurrection. Jesus quotes these words, of course, on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? And David would say, yes, I wrote that to fulfill what Jesus would say on the cross. But David said, you know, when I wrote that, I was also remembering what had gone on in my life. How I had been forsaken. How the bulls were encircling me. So David is not being sentimental. David is not in some ivory tower. David has had the full experiences of the Christian life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and most of it the bad and the ugly. A lot of it is self-inflicted by our own sin, right? But sometimes other folk. David knows all of that. But this is still a part of his confession, or at least an implication of his confession. Yahweh is my shepherd. I am content. See how I gave you another C word? Did you catch that? I did that all on my own. He's close to us. And then David's confession. And then what did I just say? Yeah, content. There you go. Just testing. Oh, brothers and sisters, do we know anything of this contentment? Do we know this kind of contentment? It's not hard in the verse 2 situation, you know, hanging out in the grass, the green pastures, and so forth. We know that it's in verse 4 where that confession is tested in the valley of the shadow of death. One of our lessons from Table Talk, I don't know, last week, the week before, the writer was talking about, I think it was Derek Thomas, talking about how Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I was getting excited. You know, I'm only 5'5", I'm 63 now, I shrunk 5'4". I weigh a little more than I did in high school. And now, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Miss Donna, will you come see me play? I can now get on an NBA basketball team. Woohoo! Well, of course, Derek Thomas says, no, no, slow down. You've got to read these glorious words of Paul in his letter to the Philippians in the context in which he wrote them. Thank the Lord for context. And in the context, Paul is talking about those times he's had nothing. And we know how he describes it in his letter to the church at Corinth, the second letter. Been shipwrecked a bunch of times. Had the crud beat out of him by the Jews and the Gentiles. Left for dead once when he was stoned. So Paul knows all of that. But Paul says, in times where I had plenty and times where I had nothing and worse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I think that perfectly fits into David's confession. I lack nothing because Yahweh is my shepherd. But that lacking nothing, that sufficiency is not in myself, it's in Christ and what Christ has done for me. Okay, we're gonna close with prayer. Miss Eileen's gonna come up and we're gonna sing our closing hymn. So let's pray together. Father, we have to confess, I know I do, the sin of that Jesus speaks of when we sinfully worry and have not a genuine concern, but a sinful anxiety. Father, use your word here. Remind us that you indeed are our shepherd, and we will lack nothing. Father, help us, remind us that this is true through Christ our Lord. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.